Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I think I say that almost every Monday morning because it's true. It's in my heart. I think one of the most important and one of the most radical things we can do as followers of Jesus, as Catholics, as disciples, is to set aside the Lord's Day. And I think our whole culture would be more sane, and even ones of us who are baptized into Christ, who are Catholics, would have more peace in our life if we were able to set aside that day in some way, not just going to Mass, which is the center of it, but also to have time with family, to be alone, to be restored, to remember who we are, to allow the Lord to refresh us and have that time of rest. It's challenging because we're living in a culture now that it's no longer a Christendom environment or a Christendom culture. Now, what does that mean? It's no longer a culture that, as a whole, understands and respects Catholic understanding of reality, a biblical worldview. You know, you think about, I'm 60, and when I was a young boy, I remember in the hometown I grew up in, a little town called New Ulm, Minnesota, wonderful place. Most of the stores, maybe all the stores when I was very young, were closed on Sunday. And the town was like a little bit of a ghost town. It was just so quiet. And was it because every single person in that town believed in keeping the Lord's Day? No, but the culture as a whole was informed with a Christian and biblical worldview and understood the commandment to keep holy the Lord's Day. And so it was a way in which the society as a whole would reinforce in its habit patterns of life and what it valued and how we lived. It was just kind of the air we breathed was the reality that we didn't, as kids, didn't even think about it. We knew we had to go to church, but what was going on is the whole society was showing in some way respect for the commandments of God. And so it was easier to rest in those days. Well, there also weren't as many distractions and there weren't as many competitive sports going on the Lord's Day as there are now and constant distractions. Life was just in general quieter, was less, more unplugged than life is today. So we're challenged to find places of silence, places of quiet. In fact, places of silence and quiet, which we need badly for our own sanity. They're difficult to find. Just maybe for the simple case that our electronics are almost impossible to shut down. Every place you go, we all have telephones, right? And how many people are staring into that telephone every single day for long periods of time during the day, having to feel connected, trying to find the latest thing, what's on Facebook, what's on YouTube, whatever it is. And what it does is it habituates us to need constant stimulation. And part of that stimulation is noise and distraction. And when the human heart is not at peace, we're generally afraid of silence when that's the case. We're afraid of silence and quiet. We're constantly churning. We have to be more productive. We have to do instead of just being. Just being is difficult. This is why the Lord's Day, and one of the reasons why I believe the Lord commanded the Lord's Day, was that we would unplug. And in that unplugging would align ourselves or realign ourselves with the fundamental realities of who am I? Who's God? Who am I? You know, I am, St. Francis would say time and again, I am who I am before God and nothing more and nothing less. In the world, there's a constant push in the consumerist culture to try to get at the human need for identity, the human need to be able to know who I am and why I'm here. So we're constantly being sold distractions, different ways of looking at ourselves and at reality. It gets sold to us all the time. We buy identities and we escape into distractions that make us feel like we're a part of something. But only God can bring peace to the human heart and a sense of security and identity, because He's the one who made us. Not only is he the one who made us, he's what we were made for. And the reason there's so many of us is he desires to have a community of people sharing in what is his, that is the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And without silence, without prayer, without looking to God, you know, what do we do on Sunday and the Lord's Day, celebrating it with Mass? What do? We come and we try to set aside our distractions. You know, we begin Mass with the sign of the cross. We confess to God our sins and of both commission and omission, and we place ourselves before the Lord. And then just through the prayers of the liturgy, through the readings, through the homily, through the Eucharist itself, the sacrifice being offered to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, we get drawn back into right alignment, and we remember. We remember not only what Jesus did for us, but in the remembering, we join Jesus, who's offering of his life as a thanksgiving, and a free offering of love to the Father. And it's a witness to us, this act of love that saves us. It's a witness to us about what's at the center of, you might say, human identity, what it means to be human. And what it means to be human is to be a child of God, to be in relationship with the living God. And we see in the sacrifice of Jesus that offering to God that shows us the way. That's why Jesus said he's the way. He's the way back, what, to the family? To the family of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's not a faraway, distant God. Jesus is telling us the Father's not a faraway, distant, cold, indifferent, or clockmaker God that just kind of wound everything up and everybody's on their own and we're here in isolation and confusion and loneliness and alienation and all the rest. Jesus is telling us that God is our Father. And Jesus is so secure in the Father's love that nothing in this world, not even the trial that he had to endure, the shame that should never have been put on him was put on him. You know, he was crucified as a criminal and set outside the city walls, and he was mocked and he was ridiculed. That's a terror. I mean, it's a terrorist act that came upon him. We talk a lot about terrorist acts in our day. He was falsely accused. He was rejected. He was despised by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with much grief. The prophet Isaiah would prophesy about the coming Messiah. And he went to that cross, friends, which is like a symbol. It was a reality, but in some ways that act is symbolic of what every human being would fear. That total rejection, that total isolation. It's like an unspeakable experience. We would never want to undergo that. And we'd feel like that's the greatest tragedy and the greatest kind of emptiness and sorrow and darkness you could step into and have to live. The abandonment of your friends, the injustice, the suffering, the torture, and all the rest. And what it really is, that's why we call it a sign of contradiction. What it really is Jesus, his white-hot love for the Father, his absolute trust and abandonment to the Father. It's like, hey, Father, I'm not worried about the circumstances of my life. They will not dictate for me the meaning of my life, because the meaning of my life comes from your hand, Father. And I'm always in your hand. And life on this earth is really short. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And the standard of success, the standard of meaning, the source of identity and happiness and ultimate fulfillment is God himself. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy my heart, no matter how much I want it to. Not my sports teams, not my bank account, not the neighborhood I'm living in, not the adventures and the experiences I'm pursuing. Nothing will satisfy me. Everything's temporary. But there Jesus is in that act of freedom, radical freedom and love. Father, I belong to you. And I give thanks, Father, that I'm your son. I give thanks that, you know, he's telling us to join him in that thanksgiving. Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that my meaning comes from my very being, who I am, that you created me. My meaning doesn't flow from my achievements or my failures. I don't define myself by my weaknesses and what club I'm in or what I'm not in or how I fail. My identity comes from you, Lord. Friends, that's freedom. That's fulfillment. And whether we know it or not, that's what our heart longs to know. And if we never find silence and never turn toward God in silence and let our gaze be on the person of Jesus on a crucifix or on, you know, in an adoration chapel or when the host is lifted up, whatever, if our gaze is not on him in silence, we'll never hear the tender, loving voice of our Father telling us, I love you. You are my precious child. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I've given you my son as a gift. My son has come to bring you home. It's like you were lost, you know, it's like you were a young kid and you were lost and your older brother or sister got sent out to come and find you. And you're scared and you're lost. And he finds you and he brings you home to a place of safety, to a place of love and security with your family. Your family. You're a child of God. Without the Sabbath, without the day of rest, friends, we become lost. There's little or no silence left. And that's not good for us, because it disconnects us from the source of meaning, the source of life, the source of identity in us. So I want to encourage you today, this week, to maybe make a decision to find times of silence. Go find an adoration chapel. Even if you're listening, you're not a Catholic and you're intrigued, go to a Catholic church where, look one up and see if they have an adoration chapel. And just go into that quiet little chapel. You can go there. You don't have to be Catholic to go there. And you'll see there a big host and a beautiful thing called a monstrance. It's often kind of a gold decorated thing. And in it is like a big piece of bread. It's a host. That's the body of Jesus. Jesus made present by a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And you can be there and pray in quiet. And just ask God in that quiet. Take some deep breaths and let your heart be quiet in silence. It'll feel uncomfortable. Make sure your phone's turned off. And just say, God, who are you? And who am I? And just listen. Listen to your heart. And don't get up until you hear in your heart. You begin to hear the voice of God. God wants to draw you close to him. No matter what you've done, no matter where your life's at, what your background is, what you're trapped in right now, he wants you to know him as your Father. Because he loves you. Let's do it, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.